And a happy Earth Day to all of you. If not for a public health crisis, this might have turned into the biggest and most celebrated Earth Day ever. This year marks the 50th anniversary of the first Earth Day, and you have to look no further than the University of Michigan for its origins. I'm David Fair, and this is Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU. How did it start? How far have we come in 5 decades? Well, our guest has a somewhat unique perspective. Very few get to share it. David Allen was there. Dave was a student at the U of M and co-founder of the group ENACT, shortened from its official title of Environmental Action for Survival, Inc. It was that group that initiated environmental teach-ins on campus, leading to the first Earth Day in 1970. And David, thank you so much for the time today. I do appreciate it.
My pleasure.
So looking back on that period of time, it was rather heady. The Vietnam War still raging, the civil rights movement still pushing forward. We were just a short time removed from those riots in Watts and Detroit and the Democratic Convention in Chicago. For those who didn't live it, can you describe what it was like to be a student on campus in late 69 and early 1970?
Well, it definitely was an exciting time, and I and many of my friends and the world around me was caught up in multiple issues. The group of us eventually focused on environmental topics that led to Earth Day 1 in 1970. But there were there's the anti-Vietnam movement, the Black Action Movement. African-American students were pushing hard for greater enrollment of African-Americans at the University of Michigan. So there were civil rights issues, there were anti-war issues, women's issues. A concern that all of these were linked in the way in which our society then, and one could certainly make the argument now, was not meeting the ideals that we would like for the society we live in.
And, of course, along those lines, on March 11th of 1970, about 1,000 people gathered on the Diag to watch a car go on trial for the murder of the American public. Ralph Nader, Barry Commoner, Gordon Lightfoot, the Chicago cast of the Broadway play Hair, all turned up. What was the goal of that event?
Well, first of all, I think I'd make the suggestion to any group planning an environmental teach-in is have a car trial and bring sledgehammers, because it is a crowd pleaser. That event gets so much positive coverage. But it was a very spontaneous event. I mean, it unfolded over a year. I had the opportunity just last month, when some of the other co-organizers came back to Ann Arbor and the university organized some events to look at the history of that. And we were all kind of torn between patting ourselves in the back and saying kind of amazedly, did we do that? And frankly, how did that happen? You know, whose idea was it to put a car on trial? Where did each of these many different activities come from? So it was a very spontaneous, very grassroots kind of activity that nonetheless came together, I think, circumstance and serendipity. And we had good support from a group of faculty leadership, but we just had an amazing coming together of different people who took on different pieces of what became a very large event, and it all went pretty smoothly.
This is Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU, and we're marking the 50th anniversary of Earth Day with U of M Professor Emeritus David Allen. He was an organizer of the first ever Earth Day event. Once that first Earth Day took place, it was, again, a kind of heady times, and it came together somewhat quickly. What was the takeaway from that event when you and your fellow organizers had a moment to sit and reflect?
Well, at the time, we did do some sitting and reflecting, and I'm thinking particularly of my colleague, Arvid Hansen, who played a pivotal role in so much of the organizational structure of the event. And we felt that, you know, it was time to roll up your sleeves and get to work. The most visible manifestation of that was the Ecology Center. The Ecology Center came into being because we had some money left over. And Art got together with some other people and put together the Ecology Center, which has now had 50 years of doing good work in Ann Arbor. So we saw the need to move from these kind of showcasing of issues to the you know, to the nitty gritty. And of course, that has taken place in so many ways by so many people, and it's still so much needed. The non-governmental organizations and the volunteers, and now increasingly, you see industry and corporations having sustainability officers. You see international agreements that are bringing together governments to focus on problems that are basically global problems like climate change. So it's been a remarkable evolution, and I think there's a lot that we can see looking back that feels like we're moving in the right direction. Long ways to go, but moving in the right direction.
And you really do kind of have to take the long view, don't you? I mean, in the span of history, 50 years is not a lot of time.
It's not a lot of time. And, of course, people had environmental concerns, well before 1970. We were the first Earth Day, but we were not the first moment in history or in American history that there was concern about extinction of species or pollution of the environment. Or some of the other issues that were central to Earth Day.
Well, David Allen, even though there were events prior to that, if we use the Earth First Earth Day as a benchmark, in 1970, those terms global warming and climate change, they were not a part of the vernacular, yet the warnings about environmental inaction seem to touch on those very things. So over these past five decades, you've mentioned we've made progress, but we can now better equate environmental harm to public health, can't we?
Well, we can, and I think a fascinating list of issues that were not really well addressed. Environmental justice is one. It was addressed, but I think we've learned so much more about the extent of environmental injustice and what needs to be done to combat it. And I think we saw climate change emerge. Basically, I think it really emerged. I know you'll be talking to climate experts, but in my view, sometime in the late 1980s, early 1990s, concern for loss of wildlands and loss of species, extinctions, biodiversity, that was there, but not as prominent. In 1970, I think that also became more clear in the 1980s, 1990s. And now I would argue we're seeing a very direct link between the environmental harm that we have done and are doing and human health. And sadly, pointing to COVID-19 and the current pandemic, these viruses, Ebola, dengue, Zika, SARS-1 and SARS-2, which is COVID-19, these have emerged from wildlife. And the jargon terms are spillover or host jumping. They've emerged from wildlife, and they've appeared in humans, and they've adapted for human-to-human transmission, and they are causing very serious human health issues. And if you look back to how these are making that jump, you can point to several activities that are in the list of environmental damaging activities. So there's bushmeat harvest. With bushmeat harvest in its origin was largely subsistence, but bushmeat harvest has grown into a global business with crime backing. And bushmeat harvest is what brings bats and pangolins into wet markets. Wet markets being a second environmentally dubious concern, where you bring species that have never encountered one another in nature in close proximity with one another and with humans, creating a wonderful opportunity, unfortunately, from the virus's perspective. And then you have the pet trade, which captures, often again illegal, capturing wild animals for sale commercially and bringing them into places where they can introduce, for example, birds bringing in avian flus. So we can look to the current issues we have with COVID-19, with SARS before that, with Ebola over multiple years and decades, and see that this is what happens when people become engaged with the environment around them in a destructive way. It's estimated something like 1.5 million viruses out there in wildlife, and some of those potentially are going to make the crossover, the spillover, into humans. So there's environmental concerns that link directly to human health experience.
And I think the valid point that you've made is that sometimes we narrow the focus of what our kind of Earth Day and environmental narrative is, and often that is on climate, but it's much more than climate.
It's much more than climate. And this is one of my personal hobby horses. I want to preface by saying that I think the climate change is the major focus for environmental concern today, very rightfully. But you know, when I look at the environmental issues that I'm personally concerned with, whether it's the threats to the Great Lakes, I'm a freshwater ecologist, so threats to rivers and streams globally, whether it's coral reefs that I mostly admire from afar, but I snorkel a fair number of coral reefs, whether it's the rainforests and all the species they harbor, they're under threat from habitat destruction, from mining and logging, from invasive species, from a mix of factors. And so my message would simply be that as important as climate is, for environmental health, it's more than climate. There are multiple causes of environmental degradation, and I think they get a bit neglected in the current era. And I think there's some reasons for this. It's a little harder to message because there's multiple problems and multiple causes mixed in. The human consequences are not as obvious. Climate change, we can directly see how it's going to impact us and how it's going to impact our economy. Loss of a coral reef is something that might sadden us, but perhaps not affect us personally. And then the third thing I'd mention is that perhaps more and more as time goes on, we don't have as much direct connection with nature as we might have had in the previous generation or two. And so our sense of connection with nature, our baseline for what nature should be, I think is shifting over time. And for all of these reasons, I think we have perhaps a little bit less attention on the complex mixture of drivers of environmental degradation. And I'd just like to be a voice for saying, let's keep those in mind at the same time we're combating climate change, because they're all important.
Once again, our guest on WEMU's Issues of the Environment is David Allen, one of the organizers of the original Earth Day event on the University of Michigan campus 50 years ago. Mr. Allen, what advice would you offer the student activists of 2020 in carrying forth the Earth Day message and creating more change along the lines of the all-encompassing manner in which you just described?
So in addition to the car trial, that's always a good one.
Right.
I think in addition to that, the good news is that there's so many different ways I think a student or young professional can engage with environmental concerns. You can be involved as a scientist of sort of physical, chemical, biological science. There's a lot of social and economic concerns that need to be addressed. I've been very impressed by the environmental lawyers I've worked with over the years and how effective they can be in really dealing with hard issues where parties are not agreeable. You need some other mechanism to get to some kind of compromise. There's politics, there's volunteerism. I just think it's a rich range of opportunities. And it's a long game, as I think you mentioned earlier on. I think you have to look for incremental improvements, somehow keep that idealism and passion that says, I want to fix everything now, and couple that with something that's a little more of a grind, frankly, because this is, from somebody who's been looking at this for 50 years, that's maybe an older person's perspective, but these things aren't getting solved overnight, and yet we have to make incremental progress, and we have to celebrate the progress that we're making.
For all of the challenges that do lay in front of us, it still sounds as though you hold forth with a great deal of optimism.
I do. I think that the environmental message has become much more widely appreciated. It's transformed. Transformed into the sustainability message. And I think the sustainability message is one that really has lasting power and that people can appreciate. I think that increasingly people see their own welfare linked to these environmental issues. And I think that's mostly good. Sometimes I feel we perhaps don't pay as much attention to the issues that don't affect us directly. That's what I was talking about a few minutes ago. But I think it's more and more appreciation that a sustainable world is one that we want to live in. And I think we are making progress at all levels, where you have cities, states, federal governments, international agreements. You have all levels of government at least appreciating this issue. You have, I think, industry increasingly recognizing the need to change. There are structural challenges. And so it's slow and it's difficult, but I think we're moving in the right direction.
So you were at the first Earth Day event ever. You were an organizer. You are marking the 50th anniversary of Earth Day today. If you take a look into your crystal ball, where do you think we might be when it's time to celebrate the 100th Earth Day?
Oh, the 100th Earth Day. Well, I'm going to be optimistic and say I think we will have taken the message of sustainability and integrated it into all levels of society. I think we will have found ways to address many of the inequities known as environmental injustices. I think we will have a more just world. I think we will have made progress towards managing climate. I think we will have learned to live with some of the challenges that are ones that we can't fully avoid, and I think we'll hopefully have preserved enough nuggets of wildlands and nature that people will still be able to feel that connection to a world that has wildlife in it, that has natural ecosystems in it.
I would like to thank you so much for taking the time out today to talk with us. It has been a true pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you.
That is David Allen, Professor Emeritus at the University of Michigan, co-founder of ENACT and one of the organizers of the first ever Earth Day in 1970. This is part one of today's Earth Day edition of Issues of the Environment. A little later on in the program, we'll be talking with Dr. Jonathan Overpeck. He is the current dean of the University of Michigan's School for Environment and Sustainability. He's a Nobel Prize winner and internationally recognized expert on climate. Together, we'll look at our current state of environmental affairs and what the next five decades of Earth Days may bring. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.